you, Heidi. Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock, our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the Bible was written a long time ago, and things were different then, and that's no surprise. But it's something that we need to take into account as we continue to read and study the Bible and listen for the Spirit's leading as we do. The Bible was written in a time when women didn't count for much. The general assumption was that women were subservient to men. In fact, women were often considered to be property of men. And the functions that women served were secondary always to the functions that men served in society. For example, while childbearing was very important, it was assumed that the woman contributed nothing more than a container for a place for the fetus to grow. The seed, the being, the character of the new life came from the man. Mothers were necessary, of course, but fathers were the ones who were really important. From the father came your being, your identity, your name, your belonging, your place in society. Identification with one's father meant protection and security and a future. Fathers had the right and the ability to claim or reject any baby born into the family. Survival was the father's prerogative. Now, taking this into consideration, it is no wonder that God, the Almighty, the creator of earth and sky, the ruler of the universe, is seen as a father. God the Father sets the standards. He claims us as his own. He provides a place for us in his house and his family, and he keeps us safe. These were the assumptions of the time and the culture in which the Bible was written, and they are not unfamiliar assumptions in our culture today. God is our Father because God is powerful and doing important stuff, and that's the way the world works, isn't it? But God is more than that. God is more nuanced than that. God is more complete than that. And we see this, too, revealed in the Bible. And considering the culture out of which the Bible came, this is an amazing thing. In the Bible, along with all the references to God as Father, we find references to a God as Mother, as a mothering God, a God who encompasses and includes things that are traditionally female. You have to dig to find these references. You have to keep your eyes open, but they are there. And the fact that they are there allows us to see a fuller, more nuanced picture of who God is and who God means for us to be. We are made in the image of God. In this larger, more complete picture of God, we see that what it means for us, men and women made in the image of God, to be what it means for us to be whole and compassionate as human beings, as human parents, and as caregivers. So, on this Mother's Day, in honor of these women who carried us in their bodies and gave us birth, and in honor of the women and men who have cared for, nurtured, and protected us, we're going to explore some of these scripture passages that speak to us of a mothering God. I'm going to pass out scripture passages. There are 16. I want volunteers, please, who would be willing to read. And then as I call out the number, it's on there. You'll know which it is. George will come and give you a mic. So I need 16 volunteers.
Thank you.
at the number one. Jeff over here, it is Genesis 1:27. So always wait till you get the mic. Let's be a little patient here. Oh, you can do whatever, as long as the mic's on.
Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Number two, raise your hand, but wait. Okay. So what does this passage tell us about God and about us? That we are, as men and women, reflective of God, who contains us, male and female, within God's self. We are made in God's image. Verse 2, the second one, is Deuteronomy 32:17-18.
They sacrificed to demons, not God, to deities they had never known, to new ones recently arrived, who your ancestors had not feared. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you. You forgot the God who gave you birth.
Three, raise your hand. Well, in this passage, we have the image of God as a rock, rather a mixed metaphor, a rock being pregnant, carrying a fetus and giving birth, God as a rock. Number three is Psalm 22, verses 7-9.
All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one who delights in him. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast.
And number four? Who has number four? Okay, go ahead. It's Psalm 71, 5-6.
For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you.
Well, these are images of birth, but from a different perspective, the perspective of a midwife, a woman who is present at birth and who helps new life come forth. In these images, God is the midwife. Number five. Nathan. Number five is Isaiah 66:9-13.
Shall I open the womb and not deliver, says the Lord? Shall I, the one who delivers, shut the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice in her with joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
Well, that passage is full of birthing and mothering images, the midwife helping deliver, and the mother who carries the fetus, the baby, and delivers, the source of food, a nursing mother, and comfort, caring, playing with a child, comforting a child, allowing a child to grow and flourish. And these are images of God. Number six, Travis. Number six is Isaiah 49:14-16.
But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed on you the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me.
And then number seven. We're here. Number seven is Psalm 131, verses 1 and 2.
O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is within me.
Here we have more images of comfort and care and of safety, of being deeply known by God as a mother knows her child. Number 8 is Anna. She's got it. And this one is Matthew 23:37.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing.
This is Jesus speaking, and you can see in this Jesus expressing the same kind of motherly longing to comfort. But being a mother isn't all sweetness and light. Number 9.
For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant.
That's Isaiah 42:14. And number 10 is Claire. Yeah.
I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs and will tear open the covering of their heart. There I will devour them like a lion, as a wild animal would mangle them.
Hosea 13:8. Well, in these passages, we see the length to which a woman, a mother, a female will go. And it's not always nice and sweet. Sometimes a mother's love, a woman's ability to persist and deliver, are fierce and angry on behalf of the life within her or the life which she has borne. Number 11.
Luke 13:20-21. Again he asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough.
And number 12, which is Luke 15:8-10. Peggy.
Or suppose a woman has 10 valuable silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and look in every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her because she has found her lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents.
In these parables and stories of Jesus, we see God explained in what is stereotypical women's work, a mother's work, a housekeeper's work, cooking and cleaning, very caring, nurturing, homemaking things to do. And God identifies and claims these things. And we can't overlook the New Testament image of being born again, being born of God. Number 13. Barry.
Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
And number 14 is Ellen, 1 John 4:7.
Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
Number 15 is Jim. 1 John 5:1-4.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith.
And finally, number 16 is Claire. John 1, 12 to 13.
But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will or of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God.
Well, these images of being born are not images of begetting, of God just planting the seed of new life. No, these are images of God giving birth, new birth to us. We are born of God, born of the Spirit. God is our Father and our Mother. Julian of Norwich, an English mystic or hermit who lived from 1346 to 1416, was one of the first persons in the Christian tradition to speak of the love of God as mothering love. When she was 30 years old, Julian fell ill, and while she was ill, she had a series of intense visions of Jesus Christ, and she wrote a book about these visions, and it's believed to be the first book written in the English language by a woman. Julian's visions of Jesus were full of joy and compassion and parental love. She saw God as both a father and a mother. She wrote, "In our creation, God Almighty is our natural father, and God All Wisdom is our natural mother. With the love and goodness of the Holy Spirit, these are all one God, our Lord." There's a song in our hymnal that's based on the writings of Julian of Norwich. Mennonite poet Jean Jansen put her words into poetry, and Janet Peachy added the music. The title of this hymn is Mothering God, You Gave Us Birth, and it's number 482 in the Blue Hymnal. It's really hard to sing, so I have asked Brenda and Barry and Bruce to come and help me sing this for you. As we sing, let these images of mothering, nurturing, life-giving, foundational God comfort, strengthen, and encourage your soul.
Mothering God, you gave me birth.
On this Mother's Day, we are grateful for the life we have been given. We are grateful for the loving care and the fierce protection and for comfort in times of trouble. We are grateful to those who have fed us and clothed us and made a home for us. We are grateful, too, for new ideas and understanding. We are grateful for new birth. In all this, we see God's mothering love for us, and we are at peace. With the psalmist, we say, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Thanks be to our mothering God. Amen.
Take your green books and turn to number 34.